as we talk about Father's Day and as we hear from Scott, we can't help but also think of a Heavenly Father who loves us so much. Just like Steve shared earlier, that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us so much. I'm so thankful for my dad today. So today, as I share with you, as we look into God's Word, I have a little couple one-liners for you of things that my dad has said over the years. And I wanted to share this one. It doesn't fit in the rest of the sermon, but this is my favorite one. So are you ready for this one? So I'm originally from Texas, if you don't know that. And that's where I say y'all a lot. Right? Yay. But one of the things that I came up to Olivet, so I was going 16 hours away in a car, away from my family, when I was going off to college into this unknown world, Illinois. And one of the things my dad said was, doesn't matter how far you go, because a plane ride will get us there. So, thank you, Dad. So that's my favorite one. So as we dive into Nehemiah today, hopefully that'll be the last here for today. But maybe not. if we could just lose weight while crying, wouldn't that be awesome? Right? Doesn't happen that way, does it? Shoot. But anyways, can you turn to Nehemiah chapter 4? And if you're already there, say yay.
Yay.
Good. All right. Thank you. All right. You're making me feel a little bit more comfortable. All right. Chapter 1, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. Now, going into this, Nehemiah is building the wall to protect the city of Jerusalem, and he's using a pagan king in order to do so. Pretty cool. So Sanballat was very angry when he learned that they were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, "What does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing? Do you think they can build a wall in a single day just offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap and charred ones at that?" So immediately, Nehemiah is getting immediately like hit with things, sarcasm, rudeness, nastiness, opposition right away. And Sanballat's mouth just continued to spill out ugliness. Have you ever felt like opposition is around every corner and you're getting hit on every side? That's exactly what Nehemiah was facing when he was rebuilding the wall. In verse 3, Tobiah the Ammonite, who was standing beside him, remarked, "That stone wall would collapse if even a fox walked around on the top of it." Then I prayed, "Hear us, our God, for we are being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own heads, and may they themselves become captives in a foreign land. Do not ignore their guilt. Do not blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger here in front of the builders." I love this. Immediately, Nehemiah, in the middle of opposition, he's getting hit on every side. What does he do?
Praise.
He prays. He's like, "You're saying ugly words to me, and I'm in my back of my mind. I'm going to stomp you with my little foot because I got a big God on my side." Amen. Right? He immediately goes to God in prayer. It's an example for us that when people are being mean, rude, criticizing, facing us on every side, immediately we need to go to God and pray. Verse 6, "At last the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, and they said it wouldn't happen. The people had worked with enthusiasm. So even though everybody is yelling ugly stuff at them, Even though people are criticizing, even though that little annoying bird keeps saying stuff and you're like, would you just be quiet? They kept moving and they kept working, and it even says with enthusiasm. And that just reminds me that Nehemiah must have been a really good encourager, really good and cheerleader. You can do it. You can do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it together. I'm here. You need a mallet. You need some mortar. I'll help you. It just reminded me of Nehemiah going around and doing that. And as my dad would say, you can do anything that you set your mind to. In verse 7, but when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. Ooh, isn't that fun? Isn't it fun to see them shaking in their boots? Isn't it fun when opposition comes back and you're like, yeah, my God is so big. He's so mighty. I love it. Okay, let's keep going. Let me not get dancing up here. Where am I? Okay, I'm at verse 8, right, people? Okay, someone's laughing. Good. Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired. They were furious. They all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. So now they're getting voices that, oh my word, everything is going to hit the fan. They're going to come in and try to fight us. But we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. Many times when opposition comes our way and we want to get off course. But just like this verse 9 says, we need to stay the course. We need to continue to pray and keep being ready. Then the people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired, and there is so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. This may or may not sound like something like complaining going on at home, maybe with your family, moms, kids, dads. Anybody? Anybody complain every once in a while, like, this is never going to work. We're never going to get all this done. I'm never going to be able to do all this. Anybody? This is what this feels like to me, is what is going on. And I just can't help but say, dads, when your whole family is griping and complaining, stay the course. Stay the course. Lean into God and keep putting Him first. Verse 11, meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work. The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, did you hear what they're saying? Did you know what they're going to do? They're going to kill us. And they will come in from all directions and attack us. So they placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall and exposed areas. So Nehemiah, knowing with wisdom of what was happening, he began to place people in the places that it was necessary. I stationed the people to stand guard by families, armed with swords, spears, and bows. This reminds me that we can't be wusses. We must be ready to defend. Let's not get confused here, though. They didn't go out looking for a fight. They were just ready for the fight. They were not looking to take anyone out. And we can't jump on things or situations or even snap at things either with anger. Because snapping and jumping on and getting angry at someone and fighting when there wasn't necessarily a need for a fight, we can't take those things back. We have to be prayed up and rested. And as my dad would say, only the Lord knows. We need only to wait and be ready. In verse 14, Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, "Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." You might be in a relationship today that's rocky, or something that's struggling, maybe at work. Maybe you have a neighborhood or a school friend that maybe you're having opposition with as well. This doesn't always have to be a physical nature. We're not just talking about leaving a window to our house open and being ready with a sword. We need to watch out for the windows that are left open in the social media world, in the internet. Places that cause us to be extra vulnerable and can bring us down. We need to close the windows. Dads, we need you to continue to lead the way in these areas too and help us fight those battles. Because they're ever changing, aren't they? Oh, my word, more apps, more stuff. Verse 15. When our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. Isn't that good? When our enemies started recognizing that they have something bigger, that reminds me of another Bible story. When they looked out, they saw the army was full, and they're like, how are we going to fight them? But what the army saw was the full armor of God and the angels ready to fight for them. We don't know what they can see, but we know our God is bigger, and we don't have to live in a defeat mentality. I don't even know where I'm at. Thank you. But when then on, only half my men worked, while the other half stood guard with spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. I love this. I just want to like carry my sword, shield every day. Literally. Y'all would look at me weird. The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. The laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting their load and one hand holding the weapon. All the builders had a sword belted to their side. The trumpeters stayed with me to sound the alarm. They stayed the course. We need to stay the course. Please, dads, stay the course. For my dad, he would say, the Lord's got this. You got a need, you have a problem, he's got you, and he's got us. And he has this. In verse 19, then I explained to the nobles and officials and all the people, the work is very spread out. And we are widely separated from each other along the wall. When you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to wherever it is sounding. Then our God will fight for us. When we worked early and late from sunrise to sunset, and half the men were always on guard, I also told everyone living outside the walls to stay in Jerusalem. That way, they and their servants could help with guard duty at night and work during the day. During this time, none of us, not I, nor my relatives, nor my servants, nor the guards or who were with me, ever took off our clothes. We carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water. Our swords today is the Bible living inside of our hearts. And if we have that with us, we are ready for anything that can come our way. We have to hide God's word in our hearts that we can be prepared at any moment, at any time, for whatever might come. Dads, today is a special day for you, and we thank you for being who you are. We thank you for standing in the gaps with us, with your sword, ready to defend. Maybe today you didn't have such a dad, but our Heavenly Father is such a dad. And he's so faithful and will never let us stand alone. And you know what, dads? Can you please keep leaning on him? Can you keep going to him and putting him first? Even when we all might be complaining, we need you to stay the course. And we thank you. Thank you. We might not be a dad today. We might be a female, and we might be a student. But we have an opportunity to also stand in the gap for someone else, too. Who is it that needs you to stand in the gap for today? We all have people around us that we might need to intercede and pray on their behalf. Can we just go to God and pray this morning? God, we thank you for standing in the gap for us. Thank you for Jesus constantly, all the time, interceding on our behalf. Jesus, we thank you for our dads represented in this room. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness. Thank you that they're here. Thank you, Lord, for them. And God, I especially thank my dad today. And I thank you, Lord, for my husband's dad today. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to stay the course. Lord, that we would be ready for a battle. We would be ready to defend. Help us to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Lord, help us to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Even when things in our lives might try to get us distracted or lead us off course, may we continue to keep our eyes on you, Jesus. God, we thank you for this, and we praise your name. Amen. You know what? Can you all stand for me today? And Steve is going to come and lead us in the benediction. Oh, you want me to do? Okay. You may hold your hands out with me. And if this is the first time, we have the blessing up on the screen this morning for you. Sometimes, before we do this, sometimes we might just say it because it's just words on a screen or something that we just have memorized because we've known it forever. But may it really touch you today. May it really bless those that are around you because of his words being poured out on you today. So let's pray. Let's say this blessing today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen, amen. You are sent. Thank you for coming today.